Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, as always. I couldn't do this without you being here. So grateful. We're coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. And you're looking at Herb right here. Well, his name is really Kent Steinbeck. We'll talk about that some other time. He's got an alias, okay? So yeah, right. This is a backup name so he can get in golf tournaments with a higher handicap.
Exactly.
So we are in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5 today. Revelation 2, verse 5. And the title of this is Reigniting Your Heart. Kent, this is going to be really good. Let me read the verse. Jesus has just really rebuked the church at Ephesus because they've left their first love. And so he tells them how they can reignite their heart, how they can get back to where they need to be with him. So he says in verse 5, therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Well, Jesus apparently means business here. Like, he's saying, I'm going to take you out of business if you don't repent and get this right. But there's much grace in this verse in that he's the God of a second chance. And he gives this church the opportunity to get back to where they need to be with him, which is to reestablish him as their first love. And so these are the steps, Kent, that lead back to reigniting the flame of love and devotion for Christ, okay? I think we all need this. So he says, number one is to remember. To remember from where you have fallen. And when he says this, he says, you need to retrace your steps back to the point of departure. Go back in your mind to when you were on fire for the Lord and what has led to where you are now. Was it that you took on another job? Was it that you moved further away from the church? Was it that you, whatever it is, something's happened in your life. You've taken on a hobby that has now become an obsession for you. And it's crowded out your love for Christ. So he says you need to remember from that high place from which you have fallen. And then the second thing, after remember, he says repent. And the word repent, as we know, means to be grieved over this. There's a godly sorrow in your heart. And you want to turn away, take decisive steps to turn away from whatever has pulled you away from this love for Christ that you previously had that was so strong. So remember, repent, and then repeat. And he says, do the deeds you did at first. Well, he talked about first in the previous verse, your first love. And he's talking about going back to when you were first converted, when you had honeymoon love for the Lord. And the deeds you did then, I mean, if there was a Bible study, you were probably the first one there and the last one to leave. I mean, if there was a prayer meeting going on, I mean, you were there. You just wanted to be where the action was. And if there was a group going out witnessing, you were there. You were just wanting to share your faith with others. If there was a fellowship group, some people meeting to talk about the Lord, I mean, that's all you wanted to talk about was the Lord with other Christians. And so I think that these are the deeds that you did at first. And so what he is saying here is you need to do these deeds again. You need to get back into that Bible study. You need to get back into that prayer group. You need to be back out witnessing with other believers. You need to be back into some circles of fellowship. You need to do the deeds that you did at first. And then Jesus issues this kind of a threat, this warning, Kent. I mean, I know if I said this in a sermon, it would sound harsh. But here is Jesus saying this. or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And to remove the lampstand means to, I'm just going to shut this church down. You're just going to dwindle down to nothing. Removing the lampstand, it may not happen overnight. It may happen over the course of a year or a couple of years, but there's going to be a slow leak in your tire, and you're eventually going to be a flat tire, and you're not going to be able to move forward with the ministries of your church unless you deal with this, unless you repent, unless you return to what it was like when the glow was there and when you were so dynamic and where this church was making an impact for Christ. Now, it's almost like Christ has just like removed your influence, and you're no longer the force for God that you once were. So, Kent, this is a pretty serious threat that our Lord makes to the church at Ephesus. And this was a very established church, the church at Ephesus. I mean, they had had the best of the best of the best teachers that had been in Ephesus. I mean, Paul's been there. I mean, he has sent Timothy there. I mean, this was not a floundering church at one time. Like, if you were a Christian, I mean, it's kind of like this is where you went to church because you were once fed the Word of God here, but now it's become a mausoleum. You've got to repent.
So does success bring complacency?
It certainly can. And just living on past laurels and living on past momentum and living on a past name. In fact, he'll say that to the church at Sardis. He says, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Oof. In chapter 3, verse 1. I mean, everyone knows your name because it used to be the place where everyone came to church.
Wow.
But you're no longer that. You're dead. Mm. You're deader than a doornail.
Wow.
And yeah. the energy, the passion for Christ and for service is gone. And with this church at Ephesus, here's the danger. They were still Orthodox. They didn't put up with false teachers or false apostles. It's not like they've gone liberal. No, they have a dead orthodoxy. I mean, they're the frozen chosen, we could say. And so that's even the danger. They take pride in, well, we still have our doctrinal statement. Well, yeah, you got your doctrinal statement, but you don't have the God and the Christ dynamic in your church.
Well, Steve, that's unbelievable because really, he's talking to the church, but really to each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the church is just made up of the individuals.
Of us. So
the
good news is, that no matter where we've fallen or how our hearts have drifted, that the Lord will bring us back. I mean, the Lord will take us back if we repent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And use us again.
Absolutely.
And that's you said, I think you opened up the God of the second chance. That's how important is that?
Yeah.
To remember.
I mean, he did with Jonah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonah couldn't have been going in the wrong direction anymore. Yeah. And yet God worked through circumstances to humble him and bring him to a point of repentance. And he was back in the game and he preached. And it was the greatest revival in biblical history that took place there in Nineveh.
So, Steve, how much of Christianity then is the heart? Because really that's what he's talking about here, right?
Yeah.
It's the heart. It's the church on the outside looked like they were hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And yet he's saying your heart's not there.
Yeah.
That's pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that
is so true. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, Kent, he came and established and really reestablished a religion of the heart.
Yeah.
The Pharisees had externalized their religion, that it was all about the appearances and all about our name and all about our tradition and all about the facade. And Jesus really ripped the mask off of the religious establishment of the day and said, no, it's the heart. That blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm trying to find the right word here, but it was a laser beam to the heart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's the way it needs to maintain in my life.
And even with believers, how true it is, because you and I have talked about this. People, a lot of us in the circles that feel like they have the sound doctrine and the proper theology and this degree and that degree.
Yeah.
It's the heart.
Yeah. It
I
is.
Mean, you and I have both seen people that can, you know, memorize a systematic theology, but they're cold, they're prideful, they're not loving.
Yes.
And this is so convicting.
It is. They just want to win a debate or an argument.
Yeah, it's just
prove that they're right.
It's not where we are.
And they have lost sight of the bigger picture. And, of course, we are to be defenders of the faith. But there's got to be a higher reason. It's so that people will love Christ and worship God. And so that I will be a worshiper of God as well. I mean, sometimes we can be so right, we can be wrong.
Amen.
So
really convicting.
Well, it is. And I don't know how this applies to your spiritual life, but it does. It applies to all of our lives because all Scripture is relevant and practical. So however God has addressed issues in your life through this study, it's by no coincidence that you've joined us today. So please take this to heart, put it into practice, and God will restore your love for Him, and He will use you in a great way. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. Thank you for joining us today for Steadfast Hope.